there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
News, notes, and nuggets. It's time for the Rutherford Report with our Blues insider, Jeremy Rutherford. Brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
.434 in St. Louis. Time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. I'm Danny Mack. That's Marshy. Rivers is traveling with the Blues. Stalter's on vacation. Kerry Davis can barely speak, so they brought us in. And we say hello on the celebrity line to Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. JR, good afternoon. How are we doing?
Doing great, Danny Mack and Marshy. And hopefully Kerry will get better. Anthony will get back. And Riv will get back home at some point. But in the meantime, enjoy talking to you guys.
It sounds like you don't really like us on the air.
I do.
Okay, just making sure. The Blues dropped a tough one last night, 4-3. Just your initial impressions of what you saw last night.
Well, Danny, I thought that they played a pretty good game overall. I mean, that's a juggernaut, that Colorado team. I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever. I mean, they're my pick for the Stanley Cup along with Florida from the East. And just watching them, I mean, I think Braden Schenn said it best after the game. It almost feels like every one of them is 6'3", 220 pounds, and skates like the wind. So I felt like that's one that the Blues could and probably should lose. But I think big picture, they showed well, came up a little short, and you could point to the mistakes that they made that cost them the game.
JR, what did you think of Jake Neighbors stepping up on that first line and playing with Robert Thomas and Braden Schenn? They immediately got a scoring opportunity, and then Braden Schenn buried it.
Yeah, I thought he was great. He continues to be great. I think he's been one of their best players all season long. And, of course, lately in the blue paint, I said to him today at his locker stall, guys, I said, hey, I heard on the radio on 101 today, some people are starting to call that blue paint area the neighborhood, and he got a chuckle out of that.
I like it. That,
he's going to make that part of his game for sure. But I know Alex Ferrario, Brandon Kiley, being two of them, have kind of pined for Jake Neighbors being on that top line. Mm-hmm. And look, it made a lot of sense. He's got that type of talent and can play with these guys. Drew Bannister wanted to keep Jordan Kyrou in that top line right wing spot, but last night made the switch. It paid dividends with that sweet goal between him and Braden Schenn.
The Blues have made it fun here down the stretch. Mathematically still alive. Handful of games left. A huge one coming up with Vegas. They've got Ottawa and Minnesota on the road before Vegas here in St. Louis. Just, JR, the realistic chances of making the playoffs, what do you think they are?
Well, I think it's going to be tough. You got 13 games left. Tomorrow night against Ottawa is a game that you just have to have. If you don't win it, you have no business talking about the playoffs. And then back-to-back, just massive games with Minnesota in Minnesota on Saturday, and then Monday with here against Vegas. Those are two teams that are directly above you that you're chasing that you have to beat if you want to be in the playoffs. The Blues right now 1 point behind Minnesota, played the same number of games. 4 points behind Vegas, and Vegas has one game in hand here. So you're looking at 13 games, and you got to go 10-3, 9-4, I think, to be in the conversation.
And JR, to win those games, you have to have everyone firing on all cylinders right now. Obviously, that first line looked good last night. The fourth line, how about them getting some goals? And then the third line as well. They had a shift last night that was incredible. They end up getting that goal, the first goal. Nathan Walker steps on the ice. But that second line, we saw a few mistakes from the second line, Buchnevich and Jordan Kyrou. What did you see from them last night? And just how important are they for this team if they are going to make a push for the playoffs?
Yeah, and that's a couple of those mistakes that I just talked about. You got to like a lot of things about last night's game. First of all, that top line, also the fourth line. I was waiting for Sundqvist to get a goal too, along with Walker and Thorpe Pinker. You could have had a fourth line hat trick last night, but that didn't happen. And then I think everybody who's watched that third line lately, they've done really well with Hayes in the middle of Kapanen, and I know Saad was down there at one point, and then he got moved up. A lot of possession time from that group here lately. But the bugaboo last night were the two big mistakes. One of them, the Jordan Kyrou penalty, the tripping penalty that leads to a Rantanen power play goal. That's a penalty that Drew Bannister said afterwards, you know, just can't happen at that point in the game. And then Buchnevich, like, you love him as a player. He does a lot for this team. But that pass to the middle of the zone, the turnover mm-hmm. that led to the game-winning goal, he had different options, and it's just tough to see that play being made at that time.
What have you thought about the play of Braden Schenn here recently? He's moved up, and it just looks like it's kind of got him going, a little spark to his game.
Yeah, Danny, I think we've seen him bounce back and forth from center to wing at different times. Obviously, he's played mostly in the middle, but it just seems like when he plays on the wing, he's more of a direct player, but more so than that, he's putting the puck on net. And I think, you know, it's not like he's worrying about his line mates too much because he does his job. But when he's playing center, it's kind of a pass-first situation. We've already seen him come down that wall and let go of a couple nice shots. He scored on one of them. Jake Neighbors tipped another one in. So he's doing things that are creating offense from that left wing spot that we didn't necessarily see at center.
JR, you tweeted out earlier today that Zach Dean is expected to make his NHL debut in Ottawa. He is going to replace Oscar Sundquist in the lineup. How exciting is Zach Dean to finally get back or finally get into the lineup? He's had to wait here a few days. And also, what does this mean for Oscar Sundquist? Is it because he didn't score and get that hat trick for the fourth line last night that he's not in the lineup?
Yeah, it's funny. I just saw this on the internet today, but a couple people were on there asking me, hey, are you teaching Zach Dean how to be a sports writer? Because all he does is sit in the press box.
Terrible.
I don't think he doesn't want to go that route for sure. Let me tell you that. But he is expected to get in the game tomorrow. He skated on that fourth line with Toropchenko and Walker today in practice. And as you touched on, he's going to replace Sundquist in the lineup tomorrow night. I'll get to that in 1 second. But looking forward to seeing him play. You know, the Blues made the trade with Vegas last year at the deadline, sent Ivan Barbashev to the Golden Knights. He goes and wins the Stanley Cup. The Blues get some guy named Zach Dean that people don't know about, but he's a former first-round pick of the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to get a chance to see him. He's a good skater, good player, has really kind of, when he turned professional this year, this is his first season professional, he's figuring out the game, and he figured it out as much as he could in Springfield. Now they want to get a look at him. He's going to come in for Sundquist, and it's nothing wrong with Sundquist. Drew Bannister said today that maybe his game has dipped just a little bit. They think that the schedule's led to that, a little bit of fatigue, so they want to give him a reset. But Drew Bannister did qualify it, guys, by saying that Sundquist would be back in the lineup Saturday against Minnesota.
Do you think that if the Blues are still hanging around, we may see Jimmy Snuggerud?
I think there's a chance. So Snuggy is going to be in the regionals with Minnesota here at the end of the month, and depending on how long the Golden Gophers go in the playoffs, whether they make it to the Frozen Four or not is going to determine how much time is going to be left in the Blues schedule when that Minnesota season ends. Is it 2 games? Is it 5 games? What makes it worth it to the Blues in terms of burning a year on that contract? So we'll see, but still a little bit to play out with his season at Minnesota and how long it lasts.
JR, anything you're working on as of recent?
Yeah, I actually spent some time today. Guys, 1,000 games in the NHL, that's a milestone. We all know it. And Nick Leddy is going to reach it Saturday at Xcel Energy Center in Minnesota. And how about this? The timing of this, the astronomical odds that he would play game number 1,000 25 minutes from where he grew up in Eden Prairie. I've been on the phone most of the day speaking with Islander teammates, Patrick Kane, a former teammate in Chicago. Lots of good stories about Nick Leddy. I know that when you're watching the here and now and you're watching the games and you get caught up in the defensive pairs and how they're playing and how's Nick Leddy doing, you know, it's easy to be critical of a guy or just not think, you know, you're excited about some players on this team. But when you make these phone calls and you find out just how this guy grew up and how much work he put in it to get here and some of the funny stories along the way, and then you're going to see him get rewarded with this milestone achievement on Saturday. So much fun to work on these stories, and this should be up at The Athletic Saturday.
And also, everyone can follow you on Twitter, JP Rutherford, at JP Rutherford on Twitter. And if they see your tweets, are they coming from your computer or your phone? I know yesterday, apparently the first time in, 19 years you forgot your computer at a game?
Oh, goodness, guys. If you could have seen my face when I got out of my truck at Enterprise Center last night and looked in my back seat and did not see my backpack or my laptop. And listen, my hands look like catcher's mitts, so if you could picture me using my cell phone last night, and every time they scored a goal, I was kind of like, dang it, because I knew I had to get the sausage fingers out on the cell phone. So, not much fun last night.
Hey, what's it like covering the team right now as we kind of wrap this up? But just the energy in the room and the fact that young guys are kind of getting what is pseudo-playoff experience and some of the things that go along with at least being mathematically alive down the stretch.
Yeah, just a transition period. You know, I think that everybody wants to make the playoffs. They realize what's at stake, and they like the game last night against Colorado for the most part. You know, they've been playing pretty well here lately. So I think they see what's in front of them and what can be possible. But I think bigger picture, you talk to each of them, they probably know that if you step back, you can see what the Blues are trying to do here, build here with a lot of these young players. So, you know, Dan, covering the Cardinals as long as you have, you understand that, you know, you go through these stretches where you're just in a bit of a transition. The Blues are in it right now, but that doesn't mean that they can't win a few games here down the stretch and get into this playoff.
JR, thanks for your time as always, and looking forward to the piece on Nick Leddy this weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys.
You got it. That's Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic.